NPR has a new boss. The organization's board announced the hire of Jarl Mohn a couple months ago. Mohn has had a long career as in the role of a commercial media executive.
To kick off the new job, Mohn is visiting state and local public radio stations around the country. He was in Wisconsin earlier today and joined us for a look at his vision for NPR. Jarl, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, tell us, why did you decide that you wanted to take up the post as president and CEO of NPR?
Well, I've been involved with public radio in Southern California for the last 12 years as a board member and a donor and as chairman of the board. And the early part of my career, my first 19 years in business were in the radio business and commercial radio. And being involved with public radio really kind of rekindled my interest and my love for the medium. I think it's the most powerful, most personal medium that there is. And the opportunity came up, and I kind of had a sense of what the challenges are in this particular role and felt very strongly that I could make a difference here.
Now, you're going to be the eighth CEO or interim CEO of NPR in the last 8 years. Why do you reckon there's so much turnover at the top, and do you see yourself sticking around a bit longer?
Well, I'm definitely sticking around. I made a commitment. I made a legal commitment. I signed a piece of paper, a document, a contract, committing to 5 years minimum in this role. I think there has been turnover. I think there have been a number of reasons. I don't think there's any one common theme. I'm basically a business guy. I'm a radio person, and the organization really has not had a radio person running it for a long period of time. I've been involved on the local level, so I think I have a sense of what the key issues are, and I have a very strong point of view about what I think needs to be done. So I think I'll be around for a while. I told them I'll stay longer if they make it fun, but at least five, at least five.
Well, you referenced a lot of time in for-profit organizations. E! Entertainment Network is one, MTV, VH1 at the leadership levels of those organizations. You've also said that public radio is like coming back to a first love in a way. And you come at a time when NPR's revenues are down by 3%. And I wonder if you think that business experience in the for-profit world is going to inform the way you raise revenue or try to raise revenue at NPR?
Absolutely. I think there has been in public media in general, all across the board, and at NPR specifically, kind of an aversion to the business side of it. It's like, well, you know, if we just do really great work, the money's just – it's going to magically appear. And I think for a long time that was true, but it's not true anymore. So we really have to be good business people. But in doing that, we'll raise the money so that content producers, producers, on-air talent, news people, programmers can have the tools and the resources to do their best work. And that's what I want to do.
And you mentioned you have strong feelings about what needs to happen at NPR. Are there lessons from your work in the commercial realm on the operational side and the content side that NPR could learn from?
Well, there probably are. Because I am a programmer and I have ideas. But listen, anybody that listens to public radio or anybody that listens to or watches any media has strong opinions about what they think is good or not good. I made my living doing that. But I don't think that's where the real success that we're going to have is going to come from, because there are a lot of really bright people that have done great work on the regional level, state level, city level, and at NPR. There's not an absence of ideas. There's an absence of money. So I'm focusing on that part of it because that's where I can make the biggest difference.
You're focusing on money. You've also spent a lot of time at Southern California Public Radio and on the board there. And Southern California Public Radio, it has a slightly more entertainment-y feel. It's got Sandra Singh Lowe helming a couple shows. They're developing a new entertainment show, I gather, that's going to have a live component. And I wonder if you think there's anything there that translates to the rest of public radio, which has been caricatured on Saturday Night Live and elsewhere as being kind of stodgy, little stuffy.
Well, the station does have some of those elements. The arts and entertainment show is not on the air yet. But first, to frame it, it is a very serious journalistic organization. It is the largest newsroom behind the LA Times in Southern California, ahead of the television stations. In terms of radio coverage, each year, and this has happened for the last 9 years, maybe 10, KPCC has won more radio awards for news coverage than all the other radio stations in Los Angeles combined. So It is serious. I want to make sure we stress that. That, I think, is the underpinning of what National Public Radio, NPR, should be. Should we have things that are a bit more interesting and entertaining? Absolutely. I think being a bit quirky is part of what public radio is. And a lot of the shows that are on the weekends have those elements. And I think we need more of that, not at the expense of good journalism. I think a lot of people, there was this fear. The good news is it didn't come up very much at all, but the fear, because I ran MTV and VH1 and E, that's the direction we were going in, and it's not. And I always point to what we did at KPCC and said, look, you're not going to see any of that there. I also was chair of Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism at USC for 8 years. So, you know, that's the backbone of what we're going to do.
You've done a lot of work in the digital media realm. How is NPR doing on the off-broadcast side, and what innovations could be out there in the next couple of years?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that, a lot of institutions and content providers are doing. The most important thing we can do, any question we have, any decision we have to make, we have to think about our listener, our user, and what they're experiencing and what platforms are they using, whether it's the desktop, a laptop, whether it's mobile, whether it's an iPad, whether it's a smartphone. And we have to make all of the content that we produce available to our audience wherever they're going to be. And I think NPR has done a very good job, actually, of pioneering in a lot of areas, NPR One just launching. So I think that you're going to see a lot more initiatives there, but not at the expense of radio. There have been people at NPR in the past, or probably some there now, that look kind of down on radio, that it's a dying medium. I don't believe that to be the case at all. It may not be growing at a rapid clip, but radio, I think, and I've stated it at trade meetings, the R in NPR stands for radio. And it's going to be – it's our past, it's our present, and it will be for a long, long time our future.
In terms of innovations, when you look down the road at the next 5 years, what big innovations can people expect to see from NPR?
Wow. I wish I knew the answer to that. I don't. I'm going to raise the money so that these really bright people that are in the system, whether it's in individual cities, regional, state, or at NPR, have the tools and the resources that they can create those innovations. So those ideas aren't going to come from me. I just want to make sure I create the environment that can happen.
Well, let me follow up on that. At the end of your 5 years, where would you like to see NPR positioned?
Yeah, what does success look like?
What does success look like? I think public radio is incredibly important and incredibly relevant today already. I think it's been, the cumulative, and of course here at WPR, you've done it longer than almost anybody, right? Mm-hmm. I think fast forwarding 5 years, public radio and NPR are going to be even more relevant and more important. When you look at what's happened in news, across the board, not radio news, but just all news, it's become newspapers as printed form have really become a battered, really kind of traumatized business. They've cut back the newsrooms. Broadcast television has become, in an effort to get ratings, has become very exploitative. It's been the latest crime. It's been a fire. It's been in L.A., the car chase. You put a car chase on TV in L.A., you got ratings. There's that. Cable television news has become, although I hesitate to use the word news, has become ideological. Whether you're on the left or the right, there are channels for you. And then you have, CNN, which has decided to take a more exploitative approach recently. What that's done, I think, is let public radio and NPR kind of in the center, owning fact-based journalism. That's a great place to be. And I think it becomes more and more important as time goes on. And the other piece, which is an emotional piece, I talked about it briefly at the little staff meeting this morning. It used to be in commercial radio in the 60s, 70s. Didn't matter what format you listened to on the radio, whether it was country or top 40. Every radio station in every big market, small or large, had this great emotional connection with the listener. That's gone away, I think, in a lot of cases. It hasn't for public radio. So I think this medium, if we continue to do our jobs well and tell great stories, tell important stories really well, is in 5 years more powerful, more relevant, and more a part of people's lives.
One stereotype of NPR and public radio in general, fair or not, is that it's an elitist institution. It's bringing the news you're talking about to a select audience. How do we bridge the gap to bring the news coverage, the journalism you're talking about, to everybody?
Great. It's a great question, and I think it's already happening when we look at some of the newer developments in public radio. And the example I think is the best exemplifies what the future of storytelling is, of important stories, is Planet Money and the series that was done on subprime mortgages. They did 2 one-hour shows taking a topic that was critically important, really, really important, but really hard to talk about. Most people, you couldn't get them to listen to a 2-minute piece on subprime mortgages, you know, CDOs and CLOs and tranches of debt. And who wants to hear that? Planet Money made it very personal. And they built the story from the guy that got the loan that shouldn't have to the loan officer that sold it to him, to the bank that it got sold to, all the way up through the hedge funds. And it took a story that everybody needed to know about and told it in a really engaging way. So I believe that that's the future of – and I think we're already taking steps to be different from this elitist, you know, point of view about what is news and how it should be told.
You've been on a tour of sorts, visiting public radio stations that don't normally get a visit from an NPR president. And by the way, thank you for that.
Sure.
It's wonderful to have you here. What kind of sense have you gotten as you toured and you've visited these little public radio stations, some big, some little? What do you have a sense of the organization as a whole at this point?
It's been fabulous. First, I've never felt as warmly welcomed in anything I've done in my career, every single stop along the way, and including at headquarters at NPR. That's been, on a personal level, very gratifying. The other thing that's been really encouraging, and I shouldn't say I'm surprised by it. I'm not. No matter how small a town I roll into, the level of commitment to public radio, to serving the communities, is incredibly strong, and really bright, creative, deeply engaged people working, in some cases, with very little in the way of resources to help their community become more aware.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is fun.
That was NPR's new CEO and president, Jarl Mohn.